Welcome to Flawed and Free Podcast. This is the place where we save souls and set the captives free from spiritual bondage in deliverance and spiritual warfare. My name is Apostle Tina, and our mission is to help you win the warfare in your life by equipping you to sever spiritual strongholds, break generational curses, and find freedom from your now to your next. Join our community of freedom fighters through transparency to transformation in Christ Jesus. Make sure you go now, like, subscribe, and share. God bless. I'm called to a special person. So this place is not for everybody. I'm called to the remnant believer. The remnant believer. I'm called to the ones that are hungry for God. That want more of God. That are tired of going every Sunday. Broken, busted, and disgusted. Leaving the same way. Fighting all week long. Coming back to church. Checking the box again. Ain't nothing changing. Mind's not being renewed. Ain't nothing transforming. And you're just going to just go. And you're just showing up. And you can't talk to the pastor. He can't pray for you. Don't nobody know who you are. Don't know who you are. Don't know your name. Don't know nothing about you. We are a big family here. So I have a lot of men and women. I have sons and daughters here. And shout out to those that are in other states that are watching that have partnered with this ministry. And we love on one another. And we have fun. We have fun fellowship. We fast. We pray. We war. We cover. Listen, we are here for the business. But above all, God is here. And it's my expectation and hope that whenever people encounter me or this ministry, that it's not me they see, that it's the Spirit of the living God that they see. That they see Jesus and not me. Right? That's my hope, that God touches you in such a way that you're not even looking at me. You're like, that's God. Ain't no other way around this. It ain't nothing but God. But I want to be transparent with you because that's who I am before I even go forth in today's message. I'm not exactly sure what the message is going to be today because I had quite a week. I've had weeks similar to the week I've had this past week, but whenever I minister or give a message, I try to be very intentional with each word that I give, that it's a word for the people, that it's a word that you need, that it's not something I'm just pulling out of the air or just something out there just to get it done. And typically, I'm tuned with what that is, what that word is, what the direction is. And with the busyness of my week and the warfare that I was under and the assignment I was moving in, I was on a spiritual warfare assignment this week. And so because of that, I was almost like really frustrated throughout the week because there's something I'm working on to give to you all. And I can't wait till I'm done with it, but it's about spiritual warfare weapons. And it's about spiritual warfare weapons and how to use them and what they are. And I'm compiling this list based upon what witches and warlocks and things like that use that they know very much about. You should know if you read your Bible a little bit, but even if you don't, I'm going to break that down. And so I started preparing and going through that, and I was so hopeful that it was going to be done this Sunday, but it's not. And so I didn't get anything outside of that. So I said, well, the only thing I know to do is be truthful. And to be honest, and I'm going to tell you, yesterday, time opened up for me that I didn't have. And I said, okay, God, maybe I can push this through and have it ready for tomorrow. He kept stopping me. He said, rest, lay down, rest, lay down, rest, lay down, rest. And I thank God because I woke up this morning feeling like a million bucks. And I was like, oh, God. Yesterday, I could barely move. But today, I woke up feeling like a million bucks. So I'm glad I followed the Lord. But I'm going to tell you what I heard the Lord saying to me throughout the midnight hour, even through the morning. I kept hearing him say, pick up your mat and walk. Pick up your mat and walk. Pick up your mat and walk. But it wasn't for me. I knew it was for y'all. Because I kept asking, like, what are you trying to say? Because he just kept saying it over and over and over and over. I'm going to move this for a second. He kept saying it over and over. Pick up your mat and walk. Close those for me, a little bit, close it up. Pick up your mat and walk. Pick up your mat and walk. And I was like, Lord, what are you saying? He said, the people of God are not moving in faith in my finished works. There is a spirit of I can't that actually is coming from Satan. And that spirit is causing this ministry. So I'm speaking to those that are connected to this ministry and not even. That spirit is causing people to stay rooted in a place of victimhood. In the I can't because. I can't because my mama. I can't because my daddy. I can't because my sister. I can't because my husband. I can't because my job. I can't because I'm uneducated. I can't because my mom or dad passed. I can't because. I can't. And there's this spirit of I can't because people are not moving in faith. And they're not allowing God to move on their behalf. He said, they're not moving in my finished works by faith because what's done is actually done. And so a lot of the warfare and even the prayers and the fighting is still from a place of fear. It is not from a place of faith. And you better know that the devil, even the Lord himself, is examining your heart. So when your mouth is speaking one thing, but your movement is saying another, that doesn't align. You know, there's an old saying, put your money where your mouth is. You know, put faith to action. All of these things have to be coupled and come together. You can't be a hypocrite. There is a lot of Christian hypocrites in this ministry and beyond. Because you're saying one thing, you're doing another. And then you're going before God and you're saying, I repent. But your behavior is not changing. And God said, they're not moving in my finished works. And so when we're fighting in prayer and speaking to God concerning our situation, we're speaking but in unbelief still. Still with doubt. Still with your plan B, your plan C. Well, if God don't answer by this day, if he don't do this by this moment, if this doesn't happen, this is what I'm going to do. Instead of being waiting on God and allowing him to move when he needs to move. And so the issue is, I'm just shooting from the hip right now. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you relationally right now before I even really get into the scripture. But he only gave me this phrase, pick up your mat and walk. And I'm like, okay. In warfare this week, I love to fight in the spirit. I used to fight in real life. Been in and out of jail. Domestic assaults. Things like that. So when I started fighting in spiritual warfare, it's normal to me. It doesn't It don't feel foreign. But I'm understanding that even within this ministry, there are some people that ain't never had a fight in their life, right? Not in real time or let alone in the spirit. So the areas in which sometimes I get frustrated with people not fighting, I'm like, Lord, why is it so hard? The devil trying to, if somebody's trying to steal something out my house, what you think I'm finna do? I got a 380, that's for sure. I got some hot ones. If you get past this threshold, and I'm a pretty good shooter. But the devil is breaking in your house. Your house is your body, your temple. He's stealing your joy. You know what he took? Your joy. Your peace, your trust. If somebody comes in your house and takes your car, take your money, take your clothes, are you going to just sit there and be like, I guess maybe they'll bring it back. Maybe they'll feel bad about what they took. No! The Bible says that the violent take it by force. So for all those that say Christians is soft, we saved, but we not soft. Don't get it twisted. If you coming for my bloodline, if you coming for my destiny, if you coming for my finances, if you coming for my children, you best believe it. So we gonna fight. Somebody gonna die, and it ain't gonna be me. I guarantee you that. When I came in the kingdom of God, and I realized that God ain't never lost a fight, he the heavyweight champ of the universe, not the world, the universe. I said, wait a minute, this the man? That one mystical. Mystical said, the man right, man right. I said, this is the man right. What? I said, that man ain't never lost a fight. Ain't never lost a battle. Ain't never. That's who's rocking with me. That's who's living on the inside of me. For those that talk about me as a woman or a black woman walking in the authority of Christ, a lot of people in my ministry peers are in, you know, they see it in men. They see it in white men, black men. An apostle. How is she an apostle? Why? Who said? Where her husband? My husband is Jesus Christ. Until the right one come, he'll be here soon. In the name of Jesus. But my assignment didn't change. God called me. I had to answer the call. But meanwhile, the devil was stealing, busting me upside my head. Time I look up, something happening, something going on, something. And the Lord started to show me and train me in spiritual warfare. God wants soldiers. I'm training and equipping leaders and soldiers. The real no limit soldier. I thought I told you. The real one. The army of the Lord. We don't have time to sit over here crying day after day. Now, I'm not saying that it's not okay to listen. God collects every tear and he uses them. The tears he got for me, baby, I got mountains and mountains and mountains of tears. But at some point, we have to weep from the goodness of God, not weep from the fight, weep from the fatigue, weep from being attacked, weep, 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 weep. What are we crying for? Because guess what? The finished works, hear me, we know the outcome. Think about the time in the world. I've been in court. I've been in some case. You ain't know what was going to happen. You ain't know if you was going to jail. You don't know if they finna lock you up. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know. But when it comes to the courts of heaven, when it comes to petitioning the throne of God as a son of God, when the enemy's contending with your life, we know the outcome. They might not know, you might not know, but the truth of the matter is it can only go one way. Whether it takes a year, a day, or 100 years, a lot of us, I'm speaking to my ministry and I'm also speaking to y'all and everybody else, don't have the spirit to endure. Noah built that ark 100 years before the flood came. Count them up. 1, 2, 3, 4. Some of us won't even live to see 100. And the promise didn't come even then. He had to endure the storm. Even after the ark was built. But he spent 100 years. It could shoot to a rasataya. God's calling you to build something. Your family. Rebuild. It's going to take, it might take days, it might take weeks. Your deliverance might take years. Will you endure? Will you pick up your mat and walk and say, I'm gonna move by faith, and as I move, God gonna meet me in my movement? Because as long as I sit on the side of this pool, he sat there 38 years. This man sat. Some of y'all ain't even 38 in this room. Can you imagine laying next to a pool to be healed? 38 years. Something he could have got day one. Year one, some of y'all, that's y'all. You 24, you 28, you 30, you 32, you 29. I don't care what your age is. You sitting at the pool. But they won't put me in. But I can't. I don't have. I ain't got. I don't know how. Nobody will help me. Nobody. The Holy Ghost is your helper. The Holy Ghost. He's your helper. That's one of his many jobs. To help. You looking to the left. You looking to the right. You looking to your phone. You looking on TikTok. You looking on social media. Instagram, daddy that wasn't there, you still mad. Daddy didn't do. My daddy wasn't there. My mama dropped me off at the orphanage. These things are true. But what you gonna do? Is that gonna change your situation today? Or tomorrow? At some point, we gotta come. We gotta stand for what we know. Do I know how hard it is? Absolutely. Do you don't think that I don't have moments? Sometimes my moments be longer than they supposed to be, and I pull myself right back. Like I should. It's hour two or three. It's hard for me to shake it. And I go right to that word. I turn my music on, turn my worship on, and we've been in some heightened warfare in this season because this is Halloween, and the enemy's mad that we planted the church, and So many things are happening, trying to shut us down because we're all about relationship over religion. So we're actually building and planting in a region that's used to religion. All this tongue talking, all the presence of God, people don't know. Why? Because they're going into cold, dead churches with no power. You ain't felt nothing. You done went to the church. You done went there 29 times. They done sung all your favorite songs. They got their lattes and coffee and croissants. And you leaving there still with your head like this. Went to church today. With no plan, no strategy, no healing, no deliverance, no nothing. People pimping your gift. They see something on you. Let's put you on the usher ministry. Let's put you on the worship team. They don't know you struggling with pornography. They got you over the children's ministry, though. Because they care more about the service than your soul. Not here. You ain't touching nothing but the dough. Till you get delivered. And we're going to love on you till you do. Because the gifts is for the body. It ain't for me. It ain't for flawed and free. The gifts are for the body of Christ. You cannot function fully in your gift until you get free, until your soul is cleansed, until you have been redeemed and your mind renewed. And that takes a process. That's called sanctification. That's a process. We got people leading and bleeding. Pastors, apostles, teachers, they falling and dropping like flies. So-and-so a pedophile. So-and-so this. So-and-so that. Why? Because they're not living committed and consecrated lives before God. They're trying to operate and move in the gifts. People are pimping your talents. There's, gifts and talents are not the same. So you have a talent. In the Bible, there's a story about the men of talents. And your talent is supposed to be used for you. And it's supposed to build, and you're supposed to give it back to God. So you're not supposed to hide your talent. Read that Bible and read that story in Scripture. What happened when they didn't use their talents appropriately? So your creativity in social media, right? Your creativity. Some have both gift and talent. When you serve somewhere and you serve the body of Christ, your talent is for the operations of what God has given you to do to give back to Him for yourself. So that might be your business. You might have a hair business. You might have a credit repair. God might have called you to whatever, have a podcast, do this, do that. That's what your talent is for. Your gifts are for the body of Christ. And you cannot fully function and operate in your gifts nor your talents without moving in the finished works of Christ. Because they're His. They ain't yours. He gave them to you. For His purpose. Right? The Bible says all things work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. So the saints on TikTok, I'm chosen. I'm called. You gonna listen to me. Give me $9.99. Okay, your TikTok prophecy. It's gonna come to pass. Got bills to pay. They over here prophesying. Ain't bit more been in their closet praying to the God that we serve, trying to tell you something. You think your spirit all open because you just so desperate for a word from God. You so desperate. Somebody help me. that victim that helped me, that helped me. This is what the body's struggling about. Help me, help me, help me, help me. Ain't nobody gonna help me. And the Lord said, I gave you the Holy Ghost. There's no better help than him. I can maybe help you sometime if I'm not over here fighting too. I'm over here looking at the Holy Ghost like, help me. We both like, help me. Thank God he's omnipresent. And he's all places at the same time, because I can't be. I got sons and daughters in other states and cities and everywhere. Sometimes all of us is getting beat up at the same time. Ain't that right? I wanna help. Baby, I'm trying to find my help. Trying to find my help. I be like, listen, I'll be back. Because I don't know. I'm over here struggling myself. Help me, Jesus. So, John chapter 5. John chapter 5, for those that don't know, this is the scripture that speaks to all what the Holy Spirit said to me for the people today. He said, pick up your mat. Wow. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to read it. I'm in ESV. And then I'm going to break a few things down I want you to know. That's prophetic. See, they rebuilding. We rebuilding over here too. Verse 1, after this, there was a feast of the Jews. This is during one of the Jewish feasts. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Verse 2, it says, now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids. Invalids are people that are disabled, so to speak. Blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, do you want to be healed? Let that sizzle in your spirit for a second. Because the Lord is asking you, do you want to be healed? He's Jesus. Why would he ask such a question? All he had to do was blink, and the man would have been healed. Right? The finished works by his stripes, Isaiah, we are healed. Does the Bible not say that? Somebody pull it up for somebody who don't know. I'm going to have to get back close to you again. I'm going to get back close. Y'all looking around. Y'all looking around. Let's get back in the Bible. Isaiah, pull it up. He said, do you want to be healed? Do you? That was a question. But what does the Bible say about healing? You got it? Come on, baby girl.
Isaiah 53 and 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed.
Say it again.
With his wounds, we are healed.
Say it one more time.
With his wounds, we are healed.
Thank you. Good job. She was getting ready to get her cheerleading voice on for y'all. She good at that. So here in John, God saying, do you want to be healed? Do you know that's what he's saying to you every day? And you trying to figure out how to get to the other side of a place? But guess what? Some of the reasons why we are not getting healed, why we're not being delivered, is because we don't want to let go of what's keeping us bound. And that's not always the case. Because a lot of us do want to be free. We do. Right? But the devil don't. And he's such a legalist that what he does, he gets nice, good, hot Christians like us. And he's so desperate to keep us bound that he filters through your generational bloodline, finding somebody in your family that he can say, they can't get healed because of this person. And you crying out to God and you like, why? Everybody in your family smoke weed. Everybody in your family single. Everybody in your family gay. Everybody in your family struggling. Everybody in your... And now you wonder why you're having temptations for same sex. Why your finances ain't never right. Why you praying, fasting, you're doing all the things. That's because there's a generational root that has to be broken. You can actually repent for the sins of your family and forefathers. To the third and fourth generations, the enemy will contend and continue until the end of time. That's what he does. That's why the Bible says that the Lord will send angels to have charge over thee, and they will contend with those that contend with you. Somebody pull it up. They will contend with those that contend with you. So contending is a function of the devil. He ain't gonna leave you alone till you leave this place, because he ain't got nothing to lose. The demonic realm will spend eternity in hell. There is no repentance for them. So they ain't coming back. There's one thing you don't do. And that's, you don't mess with people in the earth that God ain't got nothing to lose. Fortunately, we got God. So they're going to lose every time. That's what you got to get your mind to remember. When the devil's contending with your finances, your family, your relationship, your job, your career, your children, your destiny, your future, that contending is their job. And the devil ain't got nothing to lose, but you do. 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 So you can play with yourself if you want to. Who's got the scripture? Oh, cool.
Okay, Isaiah 49 and 25. For thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken. Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken. Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken. And the prey of the tyrant be rescued. For I will contend with those who contend with you, and I will save your children. For I will contend with those who contend with you, and I will save your children.
Say it again.
For I will contend with those who contend with you, and I will save your children.
There's your solution for your generational bloodline. He said your children. That means your future generation, your grandkids. That's bloodline cleansing, bloodline breaking. But guess what? You gotta stand and let who contend? Because we know the outcome. Hallelujah. When the devil's touching, knocking, he ain't nobody. Loose the angels that have charge over thee this day. Declare it. Speak it. Proverbs 18:21 says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Speak it. Speak it. It's as if God said it. That's a whole nother conversation about authority and decrees. Speak that thing. Who's contending with God? Who's contending? Tanisha, who's contending? That, who? Because we know the outcome. So what you got to do is pick up your mat and walk. What are you waiting on? This man waited 38 years. Are you going to wait 38 years? It's already, he done already took too much. He's already taken too much. I'm going to move in faith. I'm going to pick up my mat. I'm going to walk. I'm going to stand on the finished words of Christ. And guess what else I'm going to do? I'm going to rejoice. And I'm going to praise. And I'm going to worship. Because we already know how this is going to end. We know how it's going to end. I don't care. Noah, 100 years. Sarah waited 100 years for a baby, for a promise. Some of y'all might have to wait. Pray, change your prayer. Ask God to help you to endure. Ask God to help you with the strategy and the wisdom. Ask God for peace, because peace, actually, the atmosphere of peace, it does drive out demons. Demons cannot move and reside in they like chaos, confusion, division. Speak peace over your house. Speak peace over your atmosphere. Speak peace over your mind. Speak peace over your finances. Peace be still. Peace, peace, peace. Peace is your portion. Declare the word of God. I'ma stand 10 toes down. I ain't folding nothing but laundry and lawn chairs. Ain't nothing. I ain't folding. Pick somebody else. Today might be a tough day. I might not have nothing to say in prayer because I don't even know what to say. But I let the Spirit of the living God pray for me. I let the Holy Ghost speak. I let the Spirit of the living God speak, because why? The blood of Jesus speaks a better thing. That's what the Bible says. Speaks a better thing on your behalf. Stop trying to figure out what to say. All you got to do is stand 10 toes and say, not today, Satan. Satan, be gone. I say no to you. No, you can say no. You might not know how you're going to get on the other side of that no. Just say no. Worry about the rest later. Worry about the rest later. Because the more you say no, the Bible says the devil, when you rebuke and resist, it says when you resist him, he has to flee. That's Bible. Y'all not resisting. Is he still contending? Yes, because it's his job. But at some point, he got to leave. That's why y'all fighting in y'all dreams. Y'all say, Jesus, poof, you wake up. Jesus, woo, they leave. They come in your house, astral project in your house. The blood of Jesus, woo, they gone. They can't stand against the name. They can't stand against the blood. You got to stand on the blood. Stand on the name. Stand on it. Stand on it. Rejoice. I told the devil a couple days ago, I was on assignment, And I saw him trying to wear me out in battle. I've come out of that very traumatic season of battle fatigue. And I said, not doing that. I literally looked at the devil and I looked at God and I smiled. Because the Bible said, he who sits in heaven laughs. You know that scripture? Pull it up, please, somebody. He who sits in heaven laughs. It's okay. I'm glad you said no. So I pull it up for you. You don't want the saints to be like, she just be saying stuff. It ain't in the Bible. It's all Bible, baby. He who sits in heaven laughs. Some of y'all got to start laughing at the devil. I see you. I see you. Hey, listen, the saints probably would have thought I was delusional. I was walking around my room, worship music playing, hallelujah. We say hallelujah. Let me tell y'all, I was on my fourth hour. I had this one song on repeat. Because sometimes it sits so hard in my spirit. I'd be like, I don't want to leave this place. I put that thing on loop, hour four. We say hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm in the middle of my room like. And you think I'm finna be the only one tormented? Not me. I literally heard, I'm gonna tell y'all. I heard as I was worshiping the demon saying, why is she still playing this? I heard him. And then I laughed again because I started laughing. That's how I got to that. They said, oh my God, why would she turn it off? Them jokers was being tormented. They wanted to rest in my mind and in my house. But I took authority over my atmosphere. I took authority over the situation. And I gave God praise because I know the outcome. It don't matter if it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Understand it's coming. And I'm coming for you with this word and this worship. We say ha. Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. Oh. I'm finna play the song so y'all don't, you know, y'all not confused. We say ha. Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hour four. Shoo. By the end, do you know that worship took me into almost 2 days straight? My phone was like, girl, stop. I was tired, boss. I was tired. I was plugging it up to the wall. We say ha. As it's plugged in. Hallelujah. Wait, look, I got the quick charger too. Oh, I got about 5 more minutes. But we on the move. 5 more minutes. Me and my phone with the supercharger. Me and the supernatural. We on the move again. I'm back around my room with my phone. So for 2 days almost. I'm in my bed laying down, sleep. My music on. We say ha. I actually did move to some other music after a while. But the worship continued. When I tell you the joy of the Lord, I wasn't even thinking about no demons. You know why? Because I'm in a higher dimension. When you in the spirit, let me tell you, your emotions are housed in your soul, lower realm, right? Your mind and your will and your emotions are in your soul. So when you let the devil tussle your soul around, You can't rise above it because you're not moving by the spirit. The spirit realm is a higher dimension than your soul. You got to come out of that place and get where you belong, because God said you're what? You're seated in heavenly places. I had you pulling up a scripture for my boy right here. He who sits in heaven laughs.
Psalms 2:4, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them.
Say it again.
The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them.
Where are you seated? God said that you're seated where? At the right hand. You are a king. You, ma'am, are a king. Because the Bible says that God is the king of what? The Bible said he's the Lord of what? Not queen. It's nowhere in there. So I think it's cute. Queen, but you're really a king. That's Bible. Because you're seated in heavenly places. Pop your collar. Pop your collar. Baby, I'm enthroned with the Lord. And the Lord said, he who sits in heaven laughs. Laugh at that punk. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. We say ha. Hallelujah. Ha 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 ha. Laugh. Stop cowering. The devil's scared of you. Them covens, those witches, and the warlocks, and every demon assigned to this ministry, when they get that assignment, they be like, not flawed and free. They carry the real fire. Please don't get, I'm going to die. I might not make it back. The same be like, and we don't care. Not floating free, not Tanisha, not Sierra, not Alexis, not Lanaya, not Tyra. They love God. That woman should be praying that music. How I'm gonna get through? She be laughing and stuff. I be pulling up in her house. She just be laughing at me. I be throwing my little spells, and she be like, ha ha ha. Hallelujah. No. Play the song. They ready. I done worked them up on this song. I done worked them up. Play it. I wonder if that's the one I'm talking about that you have. No, it's not that one. It's the other one, KAC. KAC, hallelujah. That's another one. We're going to play that one too. We're going to seal the deal with that one. Hallelujah, KAC. Oh, Samana, yay. African, I believe. It's hallelujah, ain't it? Let me get my phone and send my playlist. It is. While they're looking for the song, the healing that took place at the Pool of Bethesda, there was a condition. The man at the Pool of Bethesda, there was a duration of time which was 38 years. And it emphasizes the severity and the chronic nature of his situation. There's a lot of people that are dealing with chronic situations because it's old and ancient. A lot of the things you're battling, it ain't even you. Some of this you fighting, it's not even you. It's before you. And so as God asked him, does he want to be healed? You know what God was asking? Does he truly have the desire to change? Because you've grown comfortable in your condition. Think about what, and maybe you're not comfortable. Maybe you're complacent. Because you're tired of the fight. And you like, this ain't gonna change. I didn't pray. I done went to church. I done went to every church in Dallas. I done had 10 ministers pray over me. I done told my mama, my cousin, and the best prayer warriors in my family. And I'm still in this condition. And I'm still dealing with this. God is not this. God is not real. God is not whatever. But we have to self-examine where our heart is even as we continue to pursue Christ and stay focused on the throne, because you're not going to get free when you're focused on the problem. You have to focus on the outcome and the solution. And I've already told you what the outcome was. So when you shift from the problem to the solution, your fight is different. It's different because you're really fighting from victory now. So when God said, get up and take your bed and walk, get up is a command. And that command challenges your physical and spiritual paralysis. That man was paralyzed. Some of you are spiritually numb and paralyzed. And you've been numb and paralyzed since you were violated as a child. You've been numb and paralyzed since this situation happened with your job. You got cut off. You got laid off. That you've been numb and paralyzed through the conditions and the wounds of the world. You're numb and you're paralyzed. You're in a spiritual paralysis. You're even experiencing sleep paralysis. And this is where the enemy will come in your dreams and hold you down. But God is saying, move in faith. When I woke up this morning, he said, let your faith do the talking and your breakthrough do the walking. That's what he said to me. I literally was like, I hopped up out my bed and put it in my phone. He said, let your faith do the talking and let your breakthrough do the walking. So the question is, do you want to be healed? Do you? Amen. We got the song? All right. Because they still waiting. I don't want to be distracted. And I'm going to close this out.
He say, ha. Hallelujah. Oh. Stretch your hands to heaven. Sing it out. Ha, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh,
next 30 seconds. Pray out in the language of the Holy Spirit.
He is restoring all that's been broken. Hey, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hey. Come on, stand on that restoration. Come on, stand on it. He is restoring all that's been broken. Jesus. Hey. Yes, worthy is the Lamb. Holy, you are worthy. Focus on the throne. Yeah, Jesus. Only you are worthy. Woo, Jesus. Only you are worthy. Only you are worthy. you, Jesus. Y'all ask for it. Y'all ask for it. How you come out of that? Can you imagine hours of that? Hours. I was twirling and swirling in the spirit. So the devil ain't finna get me. Can't do it. He gonna let this household go. He gonna let my children go. He gonna let my family go. He gonna let my money go. He gonna let go. Let it go, baby. The Bible says in verse 7, he said, I have no one to put me into the pool. The man at the pool saw his hope in the pool. The man for 38 years saw his hope in the pool and not in Jesus. This is what I'm talking about. When you feel hopeless, where's your hope? The Bible says that the hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Can you imagine 38 years of sickness? Because his hope was in the pool and not in Jesus. So there was limited understanding of healing. He stuck in his mind and he stuck in a place that's failing him. Every time that pool is stirred, because his hope was in the wrong place. It wasn't until Jesus showed up. And he asked the question, do you want to be healed? His hope was in the wrong place. His hope wavered. Some of us, it goes up and it goes down. Sometimes we're full of hope and sometimes we're hopeless. And that's when the enemy be like, gotcha. Because your hope ain't in God. Repent. Get up, take up your bed, and walk. Taking up your bed is a physical act, a symbol of personal responsibility. You have a personal responsibility. Not your pastor, not your mama, not your sister, not your cousin, not your daughter. You have a personal responsibility. Moving faith and walk. You're stuck and stagnant and still not moving because you haven't taken the personal responsibility to pray, to strategize, to move, to whatever God said. God might have said something years ago so simple as stop talking to that friend, break that soul tie, stop going to that club, stop talking. I don't know. But it's a personal responsibility that you must take to walk. Walking is active. Walking is faith in action. Works in faith, walking. So that's you believing and receiving God and moving in faith-based obedience. Some of you are not walking and moving and manifesting the kingdom of God in your life to the day, right, every day because of your disobedience. Simple. Some of it's deliverance. Some of it's discipleship. You're not disciplined. You're not accountable to a ministry or to a leader or to somebody because you think I can run my own life. I don't need nobody to tell me what to do. I don't need to do this. I got this. Can't nobody tell me nothing. The last person at this church that told me something, this is what they did. But that's old. That day is old. It's past. Today is a new day. Decide that it's going to be a new day for you. Sometimes healing is not instant and miraculous. It's progressive. And it takes time. So there's miracles, which a lot of times are instant. So there's creative miracles. There's notable miracles, right? That when people's arms are growing out of their bodies and they're getting new eyes in their sockets and teeth in their mouth that they didn't have, right? Those are creative type of miracles, instantaneous. But a lot of us are, when we go through a season or a process of deliverance and healing, it's progressive. It's a process. You just got to keep showing up. And you still got to keep moving in faith and continue to be obedient. You can't be this one day, then that another day. Be this one day, then this another day. This one day, then this another day. Right? So you have to continue to move in obedience, moving in faith. So Jesus is the source of our healing. Though the man didn't even know Jesus, Jesus healed him anyway. Why? He was obedient. You didn't see nothing in that scripture where the man that didn't even know Jesus said, well, God, what about this? This is what we do. God give us instructions. Why I got to do that, God? Well, what about this? Well, when you gonna do that? We got 3, 4, 5 questions after the one simple instruction he gave us. Why you ain't moved on this? Why you ain't moved on that? This man didn't even know Jesus. How much more will God do for you, you that know him? This man didn't even know him. But he quickly obeyed. God gave him one set of instructions. And some of you Bible toting, tongue talking, are the most disobedient when it comes to God, and you say you know him. And here this man don't even know God. He gave him one sentence. Take up your mat and walk. And he just did it. So we got to move quicker in the instruction. Maybe we'll come out of the place we're in quicker if we stand 10 on what God said, even when we don't see it yet. Does that mean it changed? God said what he said. So the healing of God is grace driven. That's real grace. I don't even know. He don't even know me, but God healed him. And a lot of the saints is moving on merit-based grace, which don't exist. Based on your work. If I do enough for God, if I pray enough, if I fast enough, if I do this, then I deserve, I'm entitled to God's grace. I'm entitled to everything God said. Now, I'm entitled to, and because I am a child of God, and I go to church, and I love God, and I this and that, and the people, and we all have done it. I've done it too, where we like, well, why I look like the world prospering, but we not? I think that's a valid thought. I don't think God rebukes us for that, but when we go too far into the thinking of, well, because I have this and have that and I'm doing this in God and I'm doing that in God and I'm being used by God and God has called me to be an apostle and da, 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 that God's supposed to do this for me. When he's doing it for people that don't even know him. So there's no entitlement in what or how or when God moves. Because we believers. God don't owe you nothing because you stayed up and fasted and prayed. And you mad because what you prayed and fasted for, you ain't got yet. Well, I ain't praying no more. I'm not fasting no more. You hurting your own self. You're not hurting God. We get mad at God. We get mad. We get frustrated. I know God understands that. He does. But if God is moving for the people that don't even know him, That just goes to show who he is. And we got to stop fighting ourselves and condemning ourselves because we don't think we're doing enough to get blessed, to get delivered, to get free. So we're trying to do it off works, merit. Maybe if I pray more or fast more, maybe if I serve more. No. So obedience and faith is what you need. So I'm saying to you, what I heard God say to tell y'all today, John 5, take up your mat and walk. Pick it up. Go. What you waiting on? I'm waiting on God. I'm just waiting on God to give me a sign. Then I'm going to leave that man. I'm waiting on God. Show me where to go. Wait no master. God, like, you a king. You set decrees. You have authority. You can speak to the wind, the rain, the moon, the stars, the earth, and it has to bow down, obey. And you over here waiting, like the man at the pool at Bethesda. I'm waiting on God. That man waited 38 years. How far did that get him? In them 38 years, he was still broke, busted, and disgusted on the side of the pool. It ain't finna be me. Now, I ain't dragging nobody to freedom. You want to be free? You better jump on this train with me. Because Jesus left the 99 for the one, not me. I love y'all. But I can't stagnate and stop running, begging, pleading people to be obedient and to take up their mats and walk. I can't. So you gonna either walk with me as I walk with him, or you're going to be left where you are. Because, and guess what? You, God ain't going to leave you. Even if I did. Even if I said, I'm gone, I'm out of here. Which I ain't. But for so many years, I would chase behind people. Cry. Jump in their battles. Jump in their fights. I wanted it more than they did. And them same people would get out of their bed and go fornicate. After I done prayed and fasted and warred and cried, and them same people would turn around and the next week be calling me because they didn't reopen the door. Maybe in their mind, maybe in their movement. And so this season is different. I'm going to fight. I'm going to tussle. I'm going to get in the trenches with you. But guess what? I can't get in there by myself. You can't leave me in there, and I'm fighting to help you. And I can't be nobody's savior because now I'm in the wrong position because the helper is the Holy Ghost. If I keep jumping in every time you get touched, you're going to always look to me. Help, help, help. Help, help, help. The man at the pool, help, help, help. I bet he was crying out every time that pool stirred. Anybody walk past him, help, 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 help. Until Jesus came. And he's available to me, to you, to you, to you. Even if I'm busy, even if I'm on the mountaintop myself, and you need help, all you got to do is call on the name of Jesus. Call me later. after you get your breakthrough. Or if you need some more help. But do that first. I used to counsel. I still counsel and coach and stuff like that. But one of my requirements before I would do dream interpretation and coaching and consulting, I would ask the people, have you talked to the Holy Spirit? What did the Holy Spirit say to you concerning this situation we're talking about? What did he say? If they look me in my face and they ain't got nothing, I will refund your money. I'm not a diviner. I'm not a psychic. Well, I don't know how to go to the Holy Ghost. Well, let me give you something to help you get started. And then you come back. Rebook your appointment. I'm like that with my ministry team. What did the Holy Ghost, what did he say? What did he tell you to do? He told me to do A, B, C, X, Y, Z. My next question, did you do it? Well, come back. It looks cold. But I promise you, he's going to help you and tell you way more than I am. And a lot of times I know. It's on the tip of my tongue. I know. Because I've already seen it probably before you even said something to me. The Lord probably already showed me, told me all of the things. And I'll be like this. Apostle ain't going in the spirit. Apostle ain't praying. Apostle ain't helping me. Apostle ain't showing up. She ain't saying nothing. She ain't told me nothing. What did the Holy Spirit say? Because guess what the first thing the saints say when something doesn't work or something, and it might not even be anything in your control. You told me to do this. But you said. That's dangerous. That lets me know that you didn't go back to him, that you maybe being lazy, maybe not, maybe you didn't hear, maybe you didn't know, but that you're relying on my word and my consecration over your own. Very dangerous. These type of situations, people get very confused. They will go sit at any table to get a word from God because they don't think they can hear from God. And they don't take the time to let God train their ear to hear. So I would rather go to the apostle who I know. She praying 29 hours. She going to get this word. She going to let me know what's up. And then I'm just make moves from there. No. You have a personal responsibility. Ain't that what I said? That after he got the instruction, that man still had to do something. Be obedient. I've given instruction to this ministry. Have they all followed it? No. That's not on me. I gave the instruction. The blood is not on my hands. And sometimes until I know that I know that I know, I might think I know, but because I haven't had time to pray through what you got going on, I won't say anything. Because I know the weight of my words. I know my rank in the spirit. And because I know the weight of my words, I know I can curse you or I can bless you quick. And because I treat the people of God with white kid gloves. I'd rather wait longer to tell you something versus being quick to, but I didn't take enough time to press it through and to get the revelation. Now I got to come back to you and say, well, that day, but today, that's confusing. Well, I thought that one day I thought I saw, but that particular day I might have been under attack myself. So I wasn't going to pour out of that vessel because I was trying to consecrate and align my own mind and mouth. And because I've been under such attack, I've been the most silent and loud I've been in years. I like to talk. I've been the most silent as I have ever been, because I'm like, I need the blood of Jesus to speak for me. I need you to speak to my daughters. I need you to speak to my sons. I need you to speak to these altars. I need you to speak to the situation. I'm going to shut my mouth and let you speak. And when you say I can speak again or speak on a situation, I might have known you've been going through for a while. But instead of saying something to you, I'm going in the spirit. I don't have time for powwows in the lower dimension. Now there's a fence because you don't like what I said. And then I said what I said because I know it's God. But you're rejecting it. You're mad. You're offended. Why Apostle say that? I've been praying and fasting. She don't know what I got going on. She don't know. And the devil's talking to you. We trying to have a conversation. I'm actually trying to help you. But you're not even a spirit or a posture to receive. Possibly. And because I see this hard-heartedness sometimes, a lot of times, even in this ministry, I'm just being honest. I can't drop seeds. It's your own heart posture that's keeping me from pouring. That's keeping me from planting. Because of pride. Because of offense. So guess what I gotta do? Shut up. Because I'd rather shut up than hurt you. I'd rather let God speak to you. Let me go in the spirit so that when we do talk, if there's an issue or there's a concern or there's something I need to say to you, I know that I'm speaking by the spirit and not by my flesh. I've given myself time to come out of my emotions. I've given myself time to consecrate and sit before the Lord and say, okay, A, B, C, X, Y, Z. Right? So we all have to do, we gotta take our personal responsibility. We got to move in faith. We got to let the faith do the talking and the breakthrough do the walking. I want to see fruit. I am tired of pouring and pouring and pouring year after year. Y'all not using y'all weapons. Y'all not picking them up. Y'all not fasting and praying. Y'all not this, that. Y'all, or maybe you are. Or maybe you're wavering. Or maybe you're teetering and tottering. And maybe there's some things we need to work on together. And that's perfectly fine. But at some point, you got to take up your bed and walk and not be like the man at the side of the pool 38 years, still cycling through the same attacks. The same thing, the same problem, the same mindsets. Not even the attacks themselves, because the enemy's going to always attack. So that's not a prerequisite to not be attacked. But the point is, I got to see the fruit of what I've said already. I need to see the fruit of these Sunday services. I need to see the fruit of them deliverance and laying on hands and pouring oil on you. I need to see your oil. I need to see your fruit. I need to see you moving. I need to see you. And that's what God is looking for. That's what he wants. That's how he knows who we are. We have to. And until that happens, God can't move and I ain't either. Because I'm not going ahead of God. I'm not going ahead of God. I love all y'all. I love my kids even. They could tell you, I'm not going ahead of God. If you need 5 more minutes or 5 more days, to sit with God, do what you need to do. Then we talk, then we powwow, then we pray, then we whatever. Cool, but right now it's got to be him first. It's got to be him. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we repent. Thank you for listening and allowing us to be a part of your spiritual journey and growth in Christ. Listen to fresh new episodes weekly
on Wednesdays to be equipped with the tools, knowledge, and strategies needed to dispossess the enemy, take dominion, and be delivered into the promises of God. No more wilderness wanderings, warriors. Walk in your purpose and discover your identity where you are free to be me, flawed and free. If you were blessed and empowered by today's show, we would appreciate your sown seed of support through donations and charitable giving as led by the Holy Spirit. You can go now to theflawedandfree.com/give. That's theflawedandfree.com/give. Or you can Cash App us at $flawedfree. On Cash App. We are a nonprofit organization with a 501c3 designation. So all gifts, donations, and sown seeds of support that are given are also tax deductible. Thank you for your seed, for we know that it is placed in good soil, and we pray that you agree. So God bless and live your best life in Christ. Love you later. Till next time.